Today's reading, I have been asked by Alan to read Ephesians 1 through 14. That's Ephesians chapter 1, 1 through 14. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, to the saints who are in Ephesus and faithful in Christ Jesus, grace to you and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in himself, that in his dispensation of the fullness of the times he might gather together in one all in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth in him. In him also we have obtained an inheritance between being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of the salvation, in whom also having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit in promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory.
You might keep your fingers open to those first few verses of Ephesians there in first chapter. And as I talk, you might kind of scan the things that are saying there so that we might make application to the subject matter that I have want to talk about. And that is redemption. There is no way in the world I can cover my notes this morning and get through with the complete lesson on redemption. In fact, I think someone like Wade or some of you in here who speak much better than I do could make a series of lessons out of this, because it is quite the story. I'm going to start off with a story about my childhood. My mother was a registered nurse, and in the 1920s, probably some of the 30s, but 20s, she took training to be a registered nurse at the Lutheran Hospital in Sioux City, Iowa. During the World War II, as she was wanting to trace and find her true father and mother, for she was adopted into a German family who lived in Iowa, she was directed back out to Nevada, where she wound up being there because of the death of her real father. They found him. He died just hours before she could make it there, but that's another story. And as a result of that, while she was out in Nevada there, she served as a kind of a school teacher, and the reservation doctor on the Indian reservation out there. I don't know which one. But as she and my dad met out there, they finally wound up here in Missouri and in Oklahoma and in Florida. This all came about after I was there. Two or three times we was back and forth. My dad was a construction worker. When my dad fell in 1955, 40 feet, on a bridge job in Detroit, Michigan, he landed in mud. And sort of on his hands, knees, stomach, and he busted his arms badly. In fact, when my father died, the bone that was in his right arm here was a stainless steel pin, somehow or another, grafted in. So he was limited to what he'd do, and as a result of that, my mother, who had become a homemaker, went to Sioux City during the summer months. I remember about my 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere in there, 3 years in a row age, and she worked at the Lutheran Hospital, where she still had friends of hers that she had graduated nursing with, still working there. So she got her job back during the summer months. Now, I've said too much already, and I've drug this out too long, but there's one thing that we did back in those days called the redeeming of S&H stamps or gold bond stamps. You remember those older folks? You would get those little booklets there about the size of a pocket calendar, and you would go make a purchase somewhere in a store, and you would watch those ads, because sometimes they gave bonus stamps on your purchases that you made, and you would take those little old small stamps, and when you got them, you would lick them and paste them so many per page in those books. And then at the end of it all, you got to go out there, when you got so many books up, you would go to that store to where you could redeem your stamps and purchase something with those books of stamps that you wanted to have. One day, my mother got lucky. This one particular store was giving away, let's say, 100 books of stamps as a special bonus if you were the right person who came in, and on the receipt of your purchases that you made, there was a red star on it. That red star would show up. I don't remember if it was 100 or how many books it was. But Mother won that day. She had all these books of stamps, and I can't remember, or books worth saying. I think we got the stamps, and we had a lick and slap them in the book. You know, after a while, gives you a funny taste. And we could not wait to go to the S&H Green Stamp Redemption Center and make a purchase. So you made a purchase. You got some stamps. You licked and pasted the stamps in a small book. You redeemed the books of stamps on the Redemption Center, and sometimes it took quite a while to get enough books made up. However, with winning the great amount of stamps, one more step was added. She had a bunch of books that she could redeem because of something, action that took place, and that was getting all of those books paid for, of stamps paid for or given by somebody else. Today we run across the same thing. If many of you look at your credit card statements or your credit cards or your cell phone, or I don't know that much about cell phones, but it looks here, it says, oh, redeem your rewards. People are still giving out rewards. Redeem them. Doesn't do you a bit of good to have the rewards if you don't redeem them. But somehow we do find out ways to redeem them, at least I do, and sometimes. The Bible is one story. It is a story about the scheme of redemption, written by the inspiration of God. According to our scriptures that we look at, and according to redemption, there are hundreds of scriptures which talk and refer to the redemption that God has made for us. As we were reading there in Ephesians, we see that this redemption takes place through the blood and the forgiveness of Christ, according to the riches of the grace of God. He made us to have the ability to be redeemed, to be purchased through the blood. It's not something that we can do ourselves, and I'm fixing to get too far ahead of me in my notes here. But we have been obtained an inheritance when we are redeemed. According to our scripture reading, this plan of redemption began before even creation. Blessed be the God and the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him. And that happened in the Old Testament, as well as the New Testament. It happened differently in Old Testament times, in a way, in a sense, than it has in the New Testament time. Look at this. I'm going to give you just some pieces of verses and where they're found at, just in the Old Testament and the New Testament. Redeem Israel, Psalms 25:22. Israel was the people that God redeemed, Exodus 6:6 and 15 and 13, and 1 Chronicles 17 and Nehemiah 1:10. The Lord redeemed you from the house of slavery, speaking of Israel, in Deuteronomy 7:8 and 15:15. Look here. God bought his people, Exodus 15:16. When they fell away, God said to them, return to me, for I have redeemed you, Isaiah 44:22. You will be redeemed without money, Isaiah 52:3. Of course, he's referring to the blood of Christ that would come. Excuse me. You will redeem me from the power of hell, or from Sheol, Psalms 49:15. We are redeemed not with silver or gold, but with the blood of Christ, 1 Peter 1:18-19. You have been bought with a price, 1 Corinthians 6:20 and 7:23. With your blood you have purchased men from God, Revelation 5:9. The church of God, which he purchased with his own blood, is made possible and explained to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20:28. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, Ephesians 1, Colossians 1:14. multitudes of scripture refer to God's redemptive ways. Think about the redemption then and now. Think about it. God created the earth. At one time, in fact, it's probably in my generation of time, earlier in life, we didn't realize all the abundance of galaxies beyond our own here. We just thought we were just a piece of the Milky Way and et cetera, about that. I imagine our brother Paul could tell us a lot more than I could say about the matter. He's studying physics and things like that. But we are one. I'm talking about myself. I am one. You are one, singular, of one of about 5 to 6 billion people that's alive on the earth today. You are one of the billions and billions and billions of people who have lived since the beginning of time. And when we think about creation, of all the things on the earth and all the things that are in space, we have no wonder that David declared, "What is man that thou art mindful of man, and the son of man that thou visitest him?" You know, with God, in the whole universe, we are human, are number one on God's list of priorities. He realized that there, before we were, there was a creation, that there would be a possibility of the free will of mankind to cause him to transgress. It even says there in John 3:16, how many of you can quote it? I bet all of you can. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son," which was a part of him, "that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Let's go back to the garden right quick. Man was created sinless. Even though Adam was an adult, he was not born through the birth like all of us are nowadays. He was created a sinless person who understood and could be taught regarding commandments. He had a job in the garden to do. He named the animals. He named things. Boy, I don't know where he came up with all those names, having not studied something, but he did. He could communicate. He could do different things. But he had all of those things going for him. The second point I would like to make is, what is redemption? Do we understand really what it means? It's not quite like my mom receiving a whole book of things and she redeemed, but yet in a way with those stamps, with what she had there, she could purchase something that she wanted. I don't remember what it was that she got. It might have been that bicycle. I don't know. Same bicycle that I shared with my brother and sister. Well, it was all three of our bicycles. You know, we were so poor when I grew up. I've told some of you this before, that we rode double on a stick horse. My brother and I did. Webster's Dictionary says redemption means to buy back with payment, to purchase with a price. In other words, to purchase or to buy back or to rescue or restore something that has been lost. In Old Testament narratives, it gives us a couple insights about somebody who was purchased to themselves or for themselves. Gomer is the wife of the prophet Hosea. She had become unfaithful to him. Gomer turned to prostitution as a way of life, not because of necessity, but because she simply liked it. She enjoyed that way of life. She ended up on an auction block. being sold for her body and her services. Her husband, whom had been unfaithful, she had been unfaithful too, took and bought her back, redeemed her, and he paid a redemption price for her. That is what Israel was doing to God. They were prostituting themselves out after God had saved them and brought them out of the land of Egypt and all these kind of things, and they would go away, but God was constantly giving them a way back. Of course, there's a difference between sacrifices of that time and the sacrifices of Jesus Christ that we know about today. We, like Gomer, have been estranged from God. This estrangement, this separation, is brought about by our own choice, our own sin. But God has made a way to buy us back. The story of Ruth. Ruth was a foreigner. She was a stranger to the covenant of promise which the sons of Moses and sons of Abraham, the sons of Abraham would enjoy the genealogy of Abraham. She was not a Jew, but she was a Moabite. There was nothing she could do. No amount of good works on Ruth's part could make her Jewish. And regardless of the good that she did for her mother-in-law, who was a Jew, a lady of the covenant of promise, she did not have the resources available to her to make herself an Israelite or a Jew. But Boaz, a kinsman, he did. A kinsman of her mother-in-law. We can study and see that Boaz, because of Ruth, made it possible for Ruth to have a redemption. He paid the purchase price. He bought her to become one that would be an Israelite and recognized to be that. As a result of his redemption, Ruth took her place in the lineage of Jesus by becoming the great-grandmother of the King David. A foreigner was redeemed. One who is outside of Christ is redeemed, made possible because of what God had implanted in their lives at that time. In Romans 5:8, Paul puts it this way, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for the ungodly. No one in their right mind will dare contend that we have the power, the resources, or anything else to save ourselves outside of the redemptive power of Jesus. We as mankind need a redeemer, and that is Jesus Christ and what he did for us, planned from before the foundations of the world. In Genesis 2:16 and 17, God gave command for man not to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. What will be the result? You will die. I mean, does that mean as soon as he takes a bite, he's going to drop dead? No. Not in that case, it wasn't anything to eat. It was a broken commandment. As I said before, Adam understood. He understood what it meant to have commands given to him, and I believe he also understood what it was to disobey them. So he became that. Just as through one man, it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, just as through one man entered into the world and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all men sinned. In Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 3:10, there is none righteous, no, not one. In Romans 6:23, he says, for the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus. Luke chapter 1 and verse 69. And Shane, in your class this morning, I wanted to kind of bring this out. But I didn't. I kept my mouth shut. Zacharias prophesies of John's ministry. That little one that he had fathered. He said, "Blessed is the Lord God of Israel, for he has visited and redeemed his people and has raised up a horn of salvation." He's raised it up in such a way. And I thought of horn there. I don't know. It may mean something else. But do you remember the old Westerns when we were watching the cavalry came in, whatever it is, they played that horn? Then there was that horn, though, in biblical times where it would be blown to sound out a warning or sound out something for a calling, sound out something sometimes in their worship that they would have together. That horn was done. So let's stop, and I'm going to end my lesson here. I still got pages to go, and I got more pages I can type. Let's stop and analyze our connection, our condition. We are born sinless. Adam was born sinless. We discover sin in our lives. Adam discovered sin in his. The works of the flesh will destroy us. It gives us death and separation from God. Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21 gives us a list of those things that are not right. Adultery, fornication, uncleanness, licentiousness. There's 18 mentioned, or 17, or going on 18. He says, and such like, but I could go on over to Romans a few more pages away, and I can also find some things there that can be added to that list. Galatians 5, chapter 21, we see that as those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, and those who practice these things need redemption. They need a redeemer in their life. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. Against us there is no law. And those who are in Christ, those who have been redeemed, have crucified the flesh and its passions and desires. Galatians 5, 22 through 24. Through Christ, we have been redeemed. We have been purchased. The only thing we have to do is look at ourselves and allow ourselves to be purchased by that blood. You know, all those things, those bad things that's mentioned that we could do. How many of you done those this morning? How many of you committed adultery this morning? How many of you have committed fornication? How many have committed murder? How many of you have done something? Well, I want to tell you something. I haven't done any of those things this morning. But I tell you what, I have envied. Seems small and insignificant, doesn't it? I have envied. I envied Shane this morning. I wish that I could talk and explain things the way he can. Or I think I could do it. I have envied some other things. I'm satisfied this morning. Well, maybe I've done more than just envy some things, but that's wrong. But I can be forgiven of it. I can be forgiven of it. It can be looked over, and that's another big lesson in itself further down in this thing. You know, anyone who takes and does the things that are of the world, of the flesh here, they can expect, even though they're not really committing the big ones, the little ones, but they can still expect to be lost unless they get redeemed. And you know what? There's some people who think, you know, I'm not that bad of a person, really. I really haven't murdered. I haven't done the big ones. I haven't got angry at people. I haven't had a snit fit in a long time, you know. I really don't, you know. I mean, I'm doing more of the fruits of the Spirit than I am of the sins of the flesh. Really, my life's pretty good. You're still lost if you have not been redeemed. We could go in, and I will in future times, maybe going back into this lesson. But the God of Christ, the blood of Christ completely redeems us. It forgives us. It absolves us. It justifies us. It sanctifies us. It cleanses us from all sin. And because he is our propitiation, he is before God constantly after we have been redeemed. He's there keeping us redeemed. John, 1 John chapter 2. You see, we are bound for death, but Jesus took our place. I don't know why God chose it that way, but he did. We should have died, not Christ on the cross, but Christ redeemed us when we respond to his blood. Through our faith, through our repentance, through obeying the commands that God has asked us and how he's asked us to do this. The Bible tells us that we are redeemed, bought, purchased, rescued, restored, the price being the blood of Christ. Have you been redeemed this morning? Are you willing to take the chance that this evening will come? While you're still not there in a redeemed state? The gospel called us there. Acts 2:38 says, and they cried out, men and brethren, what shall we do? They realized their condition. And as they went through it, Peter told them, he says, repent of your ways. Repent and be baptized for the forgiveness of sin. If you haven't done that, I don't care how good you are, how many of the fruits of the Spirit you have working in your life, you are lost. And the further you harden your heart against that fact, the more lost you may become. The invitation is yours. Shall we stand and sing?